We'll just jump right into this one. God is. I titled it, God is. And we're going to look at four or five things that God is and just be reminded of them today, because we start faltering, we start doubting, we start struggling, and we all have struggles. I shared with you last week that I struggle with things that I've heard seminary and theological explanations for, but when you start looking in Scripture, it's not always what people say. Let me ask you this. Why do we feel the need to make excuses for God? It's a serious question. We try to explain for God, and instead of just letting God be God and do what He does, we've all tended to do it, and we make excuses for Him. Well, the Lord is. We don't know that from any. Where did we get that? And I shared with you last week, one of the theological struggles I have is with passages like, Jesus said, "Whatever you ask in My name, you will receive." That the Father be glorified in the Son, and then all the Scriptures connected to that, and how that seems so difficult to achieve. And so one of my struggles, and I've heard all these excuses, and, well, you're just not praying the right way, and here's the big one, you're not asking for the right things. And it's like, that right there, are you just trying to explain for the Lord? Jesus make statements like that, and what I'm sharing with you up here is to say, research this, challenge yourself, don't make excuses for the Lord. I mean, God knows what He's doing. He's sovereign, and He allows what He allows, and He's everywhere all the time. We went through that several weeks ago or a month or two ago, but God is everywhere all the time. He knows everything. He knows it in advance. But we tend to make excuses for the Lord, and then there's Scriptures that we don't understand, and then I've heard this stuff, well, you're not praying the right way. Anybody ever told you weren't praying the right way? Okay. Don't you just love that? Ask them, what is the right way? What is your version of the right way? And I don't do that very often, because I'm really not interested in somebody else's view of what's the right way. I want to know what God says is the right way. And so ask yourself, is there a right way to pray? I mean, if you're not getting answers to your prayers when that Scripture says do this and do this and this will happen, then, is there a right way? And the disciples asked Jesus that, and you know what His response was? He said, pray this way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. He said, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For, yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. He said, pray in this manner. It didn't say you quote that prayer, and that's the only thing you pray. But He said, use this as a model. That's a model prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is found, if you want to know where it's at, it's over in John 17. And you can look that up. That's the Lord's personal prayer, praying for us. This was a model prayer to teach us to pray. And we've called it, it's been called for centuries, the Lord's Prayer. It's the model prayer for us to go by, and you expand it from that. So you start with that, and you take those, and you begin to go from there. But then He says, whatever you ask in My name, you'll receive. And then we talked about this. And so because of all these things and the things that we can't see answered readily, the things we struggle with, and one of the things that I don't want to do up here ever is to try to make excuses and explain things away, because God is God. He can explain for Himself. Everybody hearing what I'm saying? He doesn't need you or me to explain for Him things that we don't understand. The best thing you can do if you don't understand something is to say, I don't understand it. People expect me to have all the answers, and anybody else that does this. And, it's like you've gone to seminary, you got all these degrees, you've done this, you've been doing this for 40 years. Don't you have all the answers? The only one that has all the answers to this book is the one who wrote it. I'm still in discovery, and I'll be in discovery till He calls me home. I bring messages today on stuff that I preached on how many times over the years, lost count, and then he'll show me something new, and it's like, well, I thought I had that one down. And it's like, no, you don't have anything down. You just understand what I give you at the moment and where your experience level is, or where your pain or sorrow is, or where your struggles are. And that's what we need to know. Is, you know, we understand today something, so don't get locked and loaded on it, because I'll bring messages on things and it's like, I know this one, I pretty well got that one down, and then there's something brand new that comes out, and as you research and study and say, well, why didn't I know that 10, 20 years ago? And it's like, because you weren't there to receive it like you are now. You weren't humble enough. You weren't experienced enough. You just weren't there. So the title of this message is God Is. And for everybody, that hopefully this will hit some areas where you may be struggling. Let me just start with Psalms 100. This is a New Living Translation we're in today. We're flip-flopping around. We go from New King James, New Living, and we'll be using another translation or two as we go along. But it starts out, the Lord is good. You need this one. Psalms 105. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever. And his what? His faithfulness continues to each generation. So what do we say there? God is faithful. God is always faithful. He's always faithful. No matter what. 2 Thessalonians, it should be up here. It says, but the Lord is faithful. Even if we're not faithful, he's faithful. The Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. Does everybody see this? When you say the devil is after me, I want you to really get these verses. The Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. Now, here's the problem. Here's the problem we're running into. What did we just read? God is faithful. He'll strengthen you and he'll guard you from the evil one. Then how come the evil one gets in the door? How come the evil one can torment us so much? How come the evil one can pick on us like he does and harass us? We do and say things or think things that allow him in. It's not God's fault, it's ours. We get on this negative stream of thinking, or we start listening to people too much, or you watch too much news. Don't watch too much news. It will hurt your theology. It will hurt your Christianity. It will. There's hardly an ounce of truth in the news out there. If you find it, God bless you. But it's so twisted and it's so designed to push. Now the news is not news. Then it's pushing certain theories, certain socialistic things, certain communist things. It's pushing an agenda instead of just saying today, you know, 10,000 people gathered, and you don't get that anymore. The only truth you have, the only thing you can depend on is right here in this book. And that book is what all these other folks are trying to destroy. They're trying to tell you and I, you know, they're trying to tell me, don't read that book, you know, that's just fantasy and all that. And it's like, no, the only fantasy I know what is what I turn on and listen to your channel. That's fantasy. And so listen to me. You know, the problem here, why the devil is allowed to pick on so many people, is we give him an avenue. We get into this negative thinking. We start getting mad. If you just wake up mad every day, if you get mad real easy, you're giving the devil a wide open opportunity to wreck your life. That's just it. If you have an anger issue, then you're saying, devil, come on in. Because anger does not work the righteousness of God. You've read that, right? Anger defeats the whole thing and it grieves the Holy Spirit. You say, I want to be a spirit-filled person. I want to be a godly person. I want to be who God put me here to be. Then if you've got a temper, anger issue, you need to give it to the Lord, because it's getting in the way of your spiritual growth. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just telling you, you know, that's why the scripture says, be angry and don't sin. That means don't cuss each other out. How many of you, when you get mad, start cussing? You don't have to raise your hand, but okay, okay. All right, that's honest. We got some honest folks in here. You know, can anybody in here get mad and not say a cuss word? Anybody do that? Okay. Why is it that when we're mad that we have to just say the most, we just go at it? And you ever get on a roll of cussing and you can't stop? I'm trying not to look at anyone for any period of time. This is so personal. You ever notice that once it starts, it's just like a chainsaw, just you can't stop it. Until you get convicted, and then all of a sudden it's like, God, I can't believe I said all that in one breath. You know, that I could get that many words out in one breath. I didn't even take a deep breath. But what we've done, and that's human nature. So you look around and you see people raise their hands and all, and I appreciate your honesty because it happens to all of us. But when that happens, you know what we did? We just opened the door. God says He'll protect us. We got to let Him protect us. And when we do that kind of stuff, and it's not picking on anybody, you just opened the door and said, come on in and wreck my life. Wreck everybody around me, wreck the relationship and the whole thing, because anger does not serve God's righteousness. It defeats it. And it grieves the Holy Spirit of God, whereby it says we're sealed unto the day of redemption. This is not a pick on anybody day. This is to simply say, what is your issue? And quit letting the devil in the door. Because God says He'll protect you, and God's faithful. God keeps His word, and a lot of things we get upset with God about that He's not doing is that we're not allowing Him to do it. He won't force Himself on us. And He's really been working me over with some of this, saying, you know, I could do a lot more in your life if you'd let me. I want to do more in your life, but you got to let me. You can't keep resisting me. Don't hang on to things I don't want you to hang on to. You know, there's stuff in my life, and I talk to you about it all the time, and something will pop up, and I'll find myself dwelling on something. You know, you just maybe I'm just going along, and maybe driving. Driving is not a good place to lose concentration, but we all do it. I could ask in here, how many of you have been driving and then come to your senses and realize that you've gone 20 miles and you didn't even know, okay, there's one. Anybody else? Yeah. Yeah. You don't even know how you did it. And what was your mind on? And think how dangerous that is. Who got you through that? We can say, well, our subconscious mind. Now God delivered you. And we all do it. The question is, what were you thinking? What was it that was so obsessive to your thoughts that you were obsessing on that you could drive 10, 15, 20 miles or more, miss your exit? I mean, you've done that. You go right by an exit that you know by heart, and you come to yourself and realize, how did I do that? What is it that you were so obsessed with, so mad at, so into, that allowed you to do that? And when you expand that a little bit and say, if that'll cause me to do that, it's caused me to miss the signs of the Lord, God's messages that He's sending to me. I'm not hearing the Holy Spirit. I'm not seeing things that I should be seeing and hearing things from God. You know, God, give us a sign of your goodness. I'm just reading it, Psalms 86. You're a loving and compassionate God. Now give me a sign of your goodness that my enemies may see it and then be brought to shame. And God's saying, I'm giving you signs of my goodness, but you're dwelling too much on this stuff in your life. You don't even hear me. You don't see it when I give it to you. I'm saying turn here and you miss the exit. And we've got to just, you know, get our hearts cleansed and say, what is my issue? What is it that's going on inside of me? It's time for it to stop. I got to give it to God. I got to get over it. And I'm not just talking about temper. It's whatever it is. Anything that keeps you from seeing the Lord and His working, because it says He's faithful and He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. Well, this wasn't just for one specific person or group of people. This is for all of His people. And God, He'll keep His word when we don't keep ours. But we just get so obsessed with our thoughts. I catch myself doing it. And then once in a while, I'll go back and I'll be reliving something that's happened. And I talk to you about it and I'll do it myself. And it's like, why is that back in my life? What has caused this in my life to be thinking about something that happened, 10 years ago, 20, 30, 40 years ago? And why am I back on that again? What good does it do me? let me ask you something. What good is it doing you to go back in your thoughts and relive whatever nasty things happened to you? What does it do you? You get obsessed with it. You get mad all over again. You know, you think of all the things you shoulda, woulda, coulda done. What's it going to change? But what it is doing, and this is how the devil gets into our lives. That's what I'm trying to explain. That's how the devil sneaks into your life to get you sidetracked, to get me sidetracked, and we're not paying attention, and God is saying, I just gave you a sign. I just spoke to you. I'm trying to guide you, but you're being so guided by these worldly things. Let me say this so we can all deal with it. Whoever, whatever hurt you in your life, you'll never be able to straighten that out. God says, vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord, and let him handle it. What does it matter anymore? You say, well, you don't know what they did to me. No, I don't, but God does. And God's big enough to handle it. And in the scripture we talked last week, nothing has happened to us. No temptation, trial, testing has happened to any of us. That doesn't happen to everybody. He said, there's nothing new under the sun, and God is faithful, and he'll provide a way of escape. So whatever you have experienced in your life, it's happened to somebody else. Whatever it is. Whoever walked out on you, whoever, you know, did something behind your back, whoever ripped you off, messed you up in a business deal, gave their word and didn't show up. Let me share something there. I've had this brought up to me, and I'll address it here real quick because it's important to a lot of people. There's a number of people who bring this up, and they said, you know, one of the things that's prevalent today is people tell you they're going to do something and they never do it. And a lot of people get hurt over that. Let me tell you something, that's going to keep happening, and it's going to get worse. People have good intentions when they tell you they're going to do something, and a good many of them are never going to do it. And you say, well, what's the lesson in that? Don't, and just do what the scripture says. What does the Bible tell you? It's already warned you. What did it say? Don't have any confidence in the flesh. And if somebody shows up when they say they're going to show up, just thank God and say, hallelujah, they came. And if they don't show up, you say, I didn't think you're coming anyway. That because we're people, we're fickle. And all that I've just said prior, see how we get sidetracked with our thoughts? Well, people mean to do stuff. They mean to follow through when they say they're going to, but we get sidetracked with all this other stuff and we totally forget our obligations. And I'm not making excuses for anybody, because we all know that as Christians, if you say it, do it. I've sat down with parents, many parents, and I've said, never tell your children something you're not going to do. Never. If you tell that kid that you're going to take them somewhere, you're going to do this, whatever, you better die trying. Because you can hurt them in a way that, you know, my sister, I don't know, we got off on this somehow or another. She still struggles with some things from childhood, and if she listens to this, I'm not telling on her except for one thing, and it's our Christmases weren't very good. And she was talking about, she said, you remember our Christmases and how we hardly ever had anything for Christmas. And we got to where, you know, she said, I didn't like it. I didn't want Christmas to come around, because we all we could do was go out and cut a little cedar tree. Anybody ever done that? Cut you a little cedar tree and string some popcorn or whatever, little pieces of tinfoil, whatever you had, and make your homemade decorations. But as far as gifts, you were lucky if you had one thing under that tree, and sometimes you didn't get that. And birthdays, she's got it. She brought up birthdays, and she said, "You remember birthdays? We never had a party. We never had a birthday party. Often didn't have a cake, and we never had any gifts." And I said, "I know. I remember all that." And it's like, but we can't keep hanging on to that. And it's like, but that is so hard to get over. And it is. It is. When you celebrated my birthday here, most of you had no idea when you do that kind of stuff you have no idea the impact it has on me and what it means, because I never had it as a child. And so as an adult, when that happens, I don't show a whole lot here, but I'll drive home completely touched and quite emotional for having something. And she was talking about the same thing. You know, as an adult, you get the experience. So you do this, you don't even know how you're ministering by doing those things when a person grew up and you never had it. There was no such thing as a birthday party and Christmas. The one Christmas we had, and I mean was fantastic, was, you know, and I've shared this, but a lot of you weren't here when I shared it, and it was snowing up there in North Texas, and it used to snow a lot more than it does now. And we went down to the lake, and we're walking along the lake, just watching the snow drift into the lake. It was really neat. And it got about ankle deep, and it was really cool. And it was my sister and I, my dad, and we were just out walking. We used to do that in the snow. We'd go walk around, you know. And it was just neat to do, especially in the dark, walking in the snow. And it was one of those typical Christmases where we knew there wasn't going to be anything. We got back to the house, and there was one muddy boot track right in the middle of the floor. And that tree, it's a cedar tree in a bucket with rocks in it. And that tree was lifted up with the presents. We never found out all those years who did that. But all we knew as kids, you know, was Santa Claus came, and there was that muddy boot track and flecks of snow on the sides of it, right in the middle of the floor, and that was the only track there was. We couldn't find anything else, and there was just presence like we'd never seen in our lives, and neither one of us have ever forgotten that. It was the coolest thing. Let me say this to you. We have to get over the bad. And that's what I was telling her. I said, why don't we just focus on that Christmas there? And let me say this to you. Bringing that forward into our lives, a lot of you have missed a lot of Christmases in other ways. You've missed a lot of love from a partner who was just cold as a rock. You didn't have the love in a relationship. It was the same thing. It was like you never had those love presence under the tree. You never had nurturing under the tree, or whatever it is. We've all had some Christmases without presents, and I don't mean physically. You know what I'm saying? We had things in our lives where there should have been the gift of acceptance, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of nurturing, and it wasn't. Same thing. But focus on the times in your life where there was. And listen to me. If you keep focusing on what was not there, or what bad happened, or what never came through for you, you're going to miss the wonderful gifts that God's trying to give you under your Christmas tree now. See, God showed up that Christmas for us. And I found out that emotionally and spiritually, God shows up a lot. But if I'm not paying attention, I miss what God's putting under my spiritual Christmas tree. We've got to learn to appreciate when God comes through because He's faithful. The second thing that God is, He's merciful. He's not only a faithful God, and He will show up. He will come through. It may not be the Christmas you're looking for, but it'll be in His timing, but it'll be a Christmas you'll never forget. I got a little toy gun out of that whole thing. I did. There was a toy gun, except this one was so cool because it was an army rifle thing, and you'd push in your grenade, there's a grenade launcher, and pull the trigger, and it was spring loaded, and it fired that little plastic grenade out there. I blew up everything around that house. It was so cool. It had everything on it. I cherished that, and I'll never forget it, friends. That's what we got to focus on. Quit hanging on to the bad and start focusing on what good God has brought into your life. And He has. You miss love, you miss nurturing, you miss a bunch of stuff we all have, whether things have happened to, but God is loading you down, and you just got to see it when it's there. It's just, if you're looking back, you'll fall right over it. Never see it when God brings it. Look now, look around you. God is faithful and He's merciful. Let me share this out of Ephesians 2. God is so rich in mercy. He loves us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace you've been saved. Read the rest of that passage. Read that whole Ephesians 2 passage. That's all I have time for, to put all this in here this morning. But God is so rich in what? Mercy. He loves us so much. Do you get it? He loves you so much that even when you're dead, when you were dead in sins, it means when you were so stinky, your sins stank to heaven. God, when a sinful person gives off a terrible spiritual stench. You've been around someone who's just evil, nasty, right? You can almost smell the nasty. God does. And yet Jesus waded through that garbage and reached out and pulled us to Himself, stinking all, sin and all, nasty and all, and embraced us and took that stuff. He took our filth to the cross and died with it there and left it there. That's mercy. And He rose again from that tomb the third day. And He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. And every time we say those words and get in a string of cussing it and do all the things we do, He is standing there saying, "That's my child, not guilty." And we're just guilty as we can be. But He said, "I've taken that punishment. I took it. I said, let me take their place." And He did. What can we say to that? That's mercy. And He wants us to do the same thing with other people. Give them a break. Some of us have been hurt so much that somebody can say or do something and we just go all to pieces. Why? Give them a break. If you want to have a good marriage, you got to learn to be merciful. Right? And you got to learn to forgive a bunch of things. You got to learn to forget. That's what mercy does. God just takes our sins and throws them in the depths of the sea and removes them from as far as east is from the west. And He said, "And I want you to live this same way, and I'll give you the power to do it." So somebody messes up in a relationship. So they forgot your birthday. I don't know if that has ever happened to anybody. You know, do you ever get mad at somebody in your family because they forgot your birthday? Or they forgot to give you a gift. Here's the big one. So many guys have bought the farm on this one, literally. They've gone down the river on Valentine's Day. That one can kill you so quick. And there'll be a gal there saying, "I don't care about flowers, I don't like them." If you believe that, you are the biggest sucker in the world. You get them anyway. I'm just going to give you a word of advice. You get them anyway if you want to live a long life. You know, like Spock said, how do you do that? You know, live long and prosper. Do it. What I'm saying is, though, if it happens, and something's happened to all of us, mercy says, it's okay. I'm not going to let my feelings get ahead of my faith and my walk with God. You want to really experience God's mercy? Then you stop letting your feelings lie to you. Check out the scripture and stop believing bad theology. Accept what God says and live by what God says. Does everybody hear me? God gives you mercy, you give mercy. And keep giving and keep giving. And that's our next. That leads us right into the next one. God is giving. Actually, it's titled, I titled it, God is Rich in Giving. It's a play on words, but it works. He's rich in giving. You can't outgive God. You just can't. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness above all else, and He will give you everything you need." He said, all you got to do is seek my kingdom and I'll give you everything you need. You know what I found with God? So have you. He'll give you more than you need. Because there's another passage in Luke 6:38 that says, "Give and it'll be given to you. Press down." Well, let me just read it. "Give and it'll be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it'll be measured back to you." And what is he saying? He said, I'm a giving God. And if you will mimic me, if you will copy me, if you will let me give you a giving heart, the more you give, the more I'll give to you. And you give two things, I'll give four. What does he say? Give, right? You give whatever it is you're supposed to give. Hey, and we always equate this with money. Everybody does. Oh, it's money. Sure, give the tithe. Glad for it. Win the lottery, give us a tithe. We're going to love you for it. But what do we need to be given way above that? Love. Mercy. Righteousness. Goodness. We need to be giving the character of God to other people. God is. And that's what we're here. How are they going to see God if we're not giving God? If we're not living God? If we're not allowing Him to possess us and live in and through us? So they can see He's alive. Jesus Christ is alive. You can tell people that with your mouth. But it's what they see in our lives that makes the difference, is it not? I can talk to somebody all day long about the Lord, and that helps, but it's the way I'm living that they're going to look. That's going to change them the most, the quickest. God is a giving God, and He says, just give. Give love. Give mercy. Give forgiveness. Give acceptance. And what happens in return? I'll give you more than you ever possibly gave. He says, give. And he said, what will I do? I'll see to it that they, whoever they is, people, whatever he uses to give, he said, they'll pour it into you until you run over. They'll press down, shake it. He said, you give one little thing and I'll give it till it's running over. Just open the door for me to give to you. I've said this long in the past, hadn't said it in a long time. Give God a chance. Just give Him a chance to be God in your life. And see what He can do. Look how powerful He is. I get excited over this. You can tell. I like this stuff. God wants us to be givers because that represents His very nature. He's a giver. If He wasn't a giver, we wouldn't be here, would we? And I got to close. So here it is. Last one. Aren't you glad? God, thank you. And you're all right. You get an extra hug today for that. God is always compassionate. I don't know how to handle it. I experienced this just recently. I was didn't deserve it. But God just, His presence just came on me so strong. And I'll tell you what I did. And I'm going to tell you what I did to deserve this. I had to run to Junction. There's a huge truck stop there. There's two of them. Just on the 83 side of town. And if you pass through there, you might not realize it. But that truck stop, the Shell Station truck stop, has a McDonald's in it. And if you have a McDonald's and a truck stop on I-10 out in a place as remote as Junction, every vehicle in the world will pull in there. Trucks just mob that place. And there's a Chevron on across the highway, and they go in there. And on any given day, you can't. They sit in line to get to the pumps at those stations. Isn't that something? Well, I had to fly up there and run to town and, you know, I was coming towards that truck stop, and here's this big, I mean, they're all big to me, but this was one of those big semis came out of that Shell station. And he's just shooting across the highway while I'm coming, and he hits that, you know, the middle double stripe, and he slams on the brakes because I was slamming on mine. But he stopped right in the middle of the highway, and he had the two lanes, oncoming lanes, blocked, but my lanes going into town were open. So I started hitting the brakes, but he stops. And so I go on and move it to the, you know, the, away from him on that in, that outside lane there to get away. And as I did, he shot the diesel to that thing, and he pulled that truck and went right across and blocked all four lanes. And all I could do was slam on the brakes. Everything in the truck was flying in the floorboards. And, you know, and I want you to know, there was nothing pastoral about me at that moment. He stopped, I go, and he gooses it, and he shoots across the other two lanes, and I'm blocked, and I slid that truck just, you know, and it's like, would that make you mad? The first thing, get this, here was my first thought. He pulls across the highway from the Shell station to the Chevron truck stop part. And I have to wait for him, that big, huge truck, big old sleeping cab and everything. He pulls in there. My first thought was, I'm going to go up here and turn around. I'm going to let him park. And I'm going to go out there and shoot the two back tires off out of his truck. I'm going to blow holes in both of them. I actually had that thought cross my mind. I thought, I've got the firepower to do it. I can just drive up there, boom, boom, get in my truck and drive off. That's what I was thinking. I thought, you pull out in front of me like that. You let me start, and you did it. And here's what I was saying. And I said this out loud, boy. I hope he heard me over there. I said, you did that on purpose. You suckered me in. You stopped. And then when I took off, you saw me, and you did that on purpose to make me hit. I don't know what happened. You know, it could have probably on a cell phone. But I made that story up in my mind. You did that on purpose to me. So you're not going anywhere for a while. And of course, as I'm thinking all of this, what happens? The Lord's conviction. Of, are you really seriously that mad? And I told him, I was honest. I heard that thought in my mind, and I said, yes, I'm that mad because he did that on purpose. And it was like, get over it. I heard that. Just get over it. You're going to drive up there, and then reality sinks in, right? This is how God speaks to you if you let him. Nothing special about me. All of us can hear the Lord prompting in the Spirit. You're going to drive up there, and if you do that, how many cameras do you think are out there focused in that truck yard? Now think. And what did I say to God? I don't want to think. But all of a sudden, it's like, you know, all of a sudden it was like, I just love you so much. I felt that. And it added to this message today. It was like, Tony, I just love you so much. When you act this way, you know, you're just my little stubborn child. And that's the way he treats every one of us. So I got it together and drove on into town and just went on by. That's no testament to me. It's a testament to God, and that's what his compassion is like. And we get so mad, and we throw these fits, and we have these spells, and we do all this stuff, and we sling things and tear and rip and snort. Or we just go out and commit sin. You know, we all know what it's like. And there's God saying, you know, you just can't make me hate you no matter what you do. And I'm going to say to you, that's what God's saying to everybody in this place. And everybody listening, God is saying to you, you cannot make me hate you. I will not hate my children. And when you're at your worst, I'm still at my best. And I'll convict you in your heart through my Holy Spirit. I'll lead you to confess that. And I did have to confess it. And I confessed all the dirty, rotten things I was thinking about a truck driver I've never seen in my life. And don't want to see again. But I had to confess my, you know, I was wrong. When we admit that to God, we just suddenly feel all the things. Like I said, I never had maternal stuff and all the hugs and motherly kisses and things. But I get them from God. And I got them yesterday, and it was like, son, you know what you need? A great big old hug from God. And I'm going to tell you, a whole lot of us in this room right now, that's what you really need if you just slow down and stop being so dadgum rowdy. You need a great big old hug from God. And He'll hug you, and you'll feel His presence. You really need the presence of the Lord, and you need to let Him just encompass you and whisper in your heart, my rowdy, rowdy child, I just love you so much. So much that I did this for you. Father, we thank you for your love and your goodness, your compassion. We thank you, God, that you're so faithful to us, so merciful, so giving, so compassionate. We thank you, God, that you just never quit on us. You never give up. And God, in this prayer, I just want to close with this verse out of Psalms. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, thank you. Amen. And thank you for being here.